are about to hear a life-changing message preached at the Qadesh Family Church in Memphis by the Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay. In 2 Chronicles 20:20, it says, "Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." In this Sunday's message, Reverend Lindsay preaches on what it means to be established in God and how honoring his prophets brings prosperity. Believe in the Lord your God, and you'll be established. No human being can establish you. It's only belief in God. Honor and prosperity go hand in hand and bring benefits from God. So let's listen in to our anointed teacher and be blessed.
Come on.
Victoria.
There is no one faithful.
Let it roll.
gotta know. So loving and true. Those who know your name.
It's only those who know the name of the Lord who are dancing.
Your trust in God.
Thank you. Another.
There is no other faithful God. So loving and true. Oh, how I love the name of Jesus.
How I love.
Oh, how I love His name so sweet.
How I love.
Oh, how I love the name of Jesus. No other name is more to me.
How I love.
Oh, how I love the name of Jesus.
How I love.
Oh, how I love His name so sweet. Oh, how I love the name of Jesus. No other name is more to me.
Clap for the Lord Jesus. Give Him a loud shout. As oh, let me. It looks like your voice does not belong to you. Shout like your voice belongs to you. May the Lord add His blessing to your voice. May your voice be the kind that breaks the walls of Jericho, so that your freedom and liberty will come. The louder your praise, the greater your blessing. Say, amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the voices of triumph. Thank you for your Holy Ghost. Thank you for the anointing to worship. Thank you for the anointing to praise you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you that you've joined us to the 24 elders.
Hallelujah.
You've given us white raiment, cleansed by the blood of Jesus.
Yes, by the blood.
You've given us a crown.
Hallelujah.
That we cast down.
Thank you, Jesus.
Just so that you will receive what is purely do you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Worship and praise.
Hallelujah.
May our activities here honor you, Lord.
Amen.
May you be lifted up that all men will be drawn unto you. Lord, I pray that I will decrease in front of your people so that you will increase.
Amen.
Let your people see you beyond my voice.
Jesus.
Let your word
make
the impact.
Jesus.
Holy Spirit,
yes.
Carry me with your anointing to the furthest, deepest crevices of everybody's heart, that at the end of the day, your word will prevail and no curse will prevail.
Yes.
Father, those of you who have wronged you in tithes and in offerings and in other sins, I pray that your blood will cleanse everything, and everyone here will go home with a blessing.
Amen.
For your word says you send forth your word to heal them and to deliver them from their distractions. Receive the blessings of the Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
May you please be seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Today is a special day. Hallelujah. Let me see everybody here. Okay. Today is a special day. And it's a special day because today is what we call Pastor's Appreciation Day.
Wow.
Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. It's a day that we set aside to appreciate, you know, our pastors. Our pastor. Hallelujah. Now, for your information, UD Church is one church in multiple locations. Hallelujah. In multiple locations, and therefore we have one pastor. That is the arrangement Jesus Christ wanted for his church, because I believe in the book of John chapter 10. Let's read from verse 16 down. I want to show you something. You know, John chapter 10, he says, and other sheep I have which are not here, you know, in this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Now, what this means is not that your pastor is Jesus. Don't get it wrong. Jesus is one shepherd of all churches everywhere. The Catholic Church, the Pentecostal churches, any church that is a non-denominational, our one shepherd is Jesus Christ. Okay, so that's a very important thing. Now, what happens is that Jesus Christ himself, He sends out people to do his work. Hallelujah. And when he sends out people to do his work, he expects that that they'll be representing God himself, Jesus Christ himself, right? So when he sent them, you know, John chapter 10 is here. When you go to the book of Matthew chapter 10 and Luke chapter 10, they're all in the chapter 10s, okay? Matthew chapter 10, you realize in the beginning, Jesus Christ, Matthew chapter 10 from verse 1, Jesus Christ says, and when he had called his 12 disciples, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and heal the diseases and sicknesses and all kinds of things. And then the next verse, verse 2, now the names were these. And then verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, these 12, he commanded saying, do not go into the way. He sent them out. He sent them out and commanded them. Now, when he sent them out to the cities to preach and to minister, when they came back, they came rejoicing. And they said that some people did not receive them. Some people did not honor them. Some people did not, you know, honor his representation. They didn't believe that when they appear, we are representing that one shepherd. Now, look at Matthew chapter 10, verse number 40. You see, that there the Bible says, Matthew chapter 10, it says, he who receives, you're telling the disciples when they came as pastors, look, we went. I mean, we've been preaching, we've gotten congregation, but, you know, people rejected us, people didn't honor us, people didn't respect us. And he says, he who receives you receives me, he told the disciples. So any of you who receives me, you are receiving Jesus Christ. Yeah. Because if I came in the name of Buddha, you wouldn't be here. How many would have been here if I came in the name of an antelope? Or a cow? I came in the name of a snake. So it means it's the name that I am representing that is making you approach me. Clap. Amen. For our one shepherd, Jesus Christ. Yeah. And it has to be clear. No human being can be enough to be called Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So he divides himself into people to represent him everywhere. And when we receive the people that he has brought, we receive Christ. And Bible says, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. So Jesus Christ was trying to demonstrate that I know it's going to be difficult for you to receive human beings. Mommy? Okay. I know that it's going to be so let Mr. Dwight come, for example. And Brother Michael, you come. Brother Michael, you look like God. You're a big God. All right. So this is Brother Michael. He's God. God sent Jesus Christ. He's here. He's tall. He looks humble, so he can be Jesus Christ, you know. And then I am the pastor. You know, I'm dressed like a pastor. I have to use the cross, because otherwise you'll not receive that I'm representing Jesus. So they don't need to use any cross or any. This is God. Man, this is Jesus. They don't need any introduction. But me, frail me, I have to do something. So what happens is that Jesus Christ says, he who receives me receives, he's talking to me. Jesus Christ, where is he? Prince, come and tell me. Come and quote this. I am the pastor. Oh, no. Actually, you consider. So Jesus Christ is here. He sent them. He sent people like me. And so now I came back. I said, look, people are not receiving me. Then Jesus tells me. This is the. So Jesus, talk to me.
He who receives you receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me.
That is how it is. Jesus is speaking. Blue is the skies. He's seated at the right hand of God. He's speaking from the air. His word telling me, Pastor Lindsay, he who receives me, he who, say it again.
He who receives you receives me. If Cheryl receives you, he receives me.
Wow.
And he receives me, receives the one who sent me.
Wow. Beautiful. Clap for the Lord Jesus. That's it. It can't be clearer than that.
Wow. Amen.
So this trend went on. Now, when Peter goes and is talking and is sending people, if I send Peter, send the person should be able to say, Peter should be able to tell the person who is not received that, look, let me tell you, if they don't receive you, they have not received me. And if they have not received me, they have not received Jesus Christ. That's how it is.
Wow.
There is, you have to always point to the person who sent you. And Jesus was such a humble example. So I'm here not in my own authority. Like Jesus, I want to tell you that I'm not here in my authority.
Amen.
Yeah. I am here because I've been trained. I was sent. If you receive me, you receive he who sent me.
Amen.
Clap for the Lord Jesus. Jesus was not afraid. I know I'm anointed. I know my preaching is powerful by the grace of God. I know, you see, you brought your notebooks. I mean, you've dressed up. Look at Sister Vicky. She's dressed up to write notes. Come on now.
Amen.
A powerful woman like that. Look at Brother Prince, a businessman of high repute. Look at Mama Mercy, my own Mama Mercy sitting down. Who can give birth to me and a half? Clap for the Lord Jesus.
Wow.
Sitting down. There must be something about me that was given by he who sent me.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, ultimately, no human being is of any reputation except what God gives to that human being. There's no pastor. When you respect a pastor or you honor a pastor, you are actually honoring the person who sent him. Jesus was not ambiguous about it at all. Yeah. And so from now, I want you to see that some of us, the only reason why you will never have been saved if you had not received a pastor whose anointing from Jesus Christ is the authority that gave you to become who you are. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And therefore, he said, he who receives you, Mr. Pastor, receives me, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And he who has received me, Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. has received God the Father who sent me. Mm-hmm. I like when he went further, verse 41. Mm-hmm. He said, he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive the prophet's reward. Wow. From
Amen.
Today, may you have the prophet's reward
I
in the name of Jesus.
I receive it. The prophet's reward. Amen.
You know, a prophet changes people. A prophet changes people's situation. Samuel had lost a lot of things, was dejected, was confused, was frustrated, was just flustered, was just overwhelmed, was just flabbergasted and flabberwhelmed. It's a combination of flabbergasted and overwhelmed. Clap for the Lord Jesus. When he was lost, he lost all the other donkeys and he went. It took a prophet, the prophet Samuel, to say, calm down. Those sheep have been found. That was a prophetic statement. It had to take Samuel's faith to believe that this is a man, but of God, for that thing to come to pass in his life. When he believed that there's the donkeys were actually found. Now he said, no, it's not just about donkeys. All of you, you may be coming here because of one thing or another. You may have lost a job. Just like Sister Barbara, mm-hmm. lost a job. But God did not just want you to have a job. Yes. The donkeys have been found. Mm-hmm. That job is not a problem. I'm going to give you a job, but even a better job than you had before.
Yes.
Barbara, say amen.
Amen.
What job you have, you even have promotion in it, in Jesus'
amen.
Name. Upgrades, upgrades.
Upgrades.
Yeah. And everyone here will be upgraded in
Amen.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
But he said, don't just focus on the job and the upgrades, but focus. So he gave the lost donkeys were found even before he moved. But as he was going, God also anointed him and gave him a status. That was how Saul of the Old Testament became King Saul. And Bible says he was turned into another man. God really is interested in turning you into another man, giving you an anointing, giving you a supernatural presence where you go home. You met a pastor, but you went home with God. Clap for the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I said you met a pastor,
yes.
But he went is with a spiritual impartation. Because the pastor has something that does not just give you donkeys, but gives you the power to now operate directly from God. May you go home with the peace of God. Clap for the Lord Jesus. That is called the anointing on the pastor.
Go home with God. Hallelujah.
Yeah. I never go to a place and think I'm going to go alone. This morning, as I was listening to the message from the prophet about the burden of love, it has changed my outlook, it has changed my heart, it has changed just my personality and my future. Yeah. I mean, I don't know whether my wife would tell the truth, but I am a better husband because of that message. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Yeah. I mean, I think it was the weekend that she was asking me, I think we're eating. I don't know what she was asking me. Should I add this spice or that spice or that spice? I don't know what she was asking. And I looked and I was confused. Is it this spice, this spice? I looked, I was confused. In my confusion, I just looked at her. I said, I want no spice. I want you. Yeah. Clap for the Lord Jesus.
Wow. Romantic. Romantic, yeah. Pastor.
I said, if you are there, it doesn't matter which spice. Just choose one.
Hey.
Once you are here, it's spicy already. Clap for the Lord Jesus.
We'll
once the presence of the Lord is there, it's not the donkeys or the job or anything. Just his presence is exactly what you need, not the spice.
Amen.
He will spice your life and will spice it well by the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That is what, when Saul met the prophet, Saul believed in the prophet Samuel. He was changed into another man. Let's see in Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 10 from verse 1. I tell you, I'm talking to you about honoring what happens when you honor a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
When you honor a prophet. And a prophet has sons that need to direct such a message to the source of the honor. You see, the Bible says, who is this one behind the screen? 1 Samuel chapter 10. Not Matthew. We are into 10s, but 1 Samuel chapter 10. Okay. I think he's, you know. But anyway, he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward.
Amen.
He who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Amen. The next verse 42 says that if you give even a cup of cold water to a prophet in the name of a prophet, you will never lose your reward.
Amen.
You will have what we call the prophet's reward. As he searches for 1 Samuel chapter 10, you will have a prophet's reward. Today, I've seen that in life, many people dishonor pastors. Many people don't see what they're doing when they give up. You know, let me just go back to what Sister Barbara said. She gave us 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20. And the verse B says that, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you prosper.
Established.
Oh, so shall you be established.
Established.
Believe his prophets,
so
shall you prosper.
Prosper.
That was the scripture that got her the testimony.
Amen.
It says, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you
be established.
Amen. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So there is something about believing God that establishes you as a Christian. But let me tell you something. There is something more than just being a Christian. What is the use of a Christian who doesn't prosper? You will even bring shame to the Lord. David once told the Lord, Lord, please don't make me poor to the point where I will steal. And then I will actually bring your name down. But on the other hand, don't give me too much. So that I become so poor, I said, who is God? He said, just give me enough for me and my needs. Hallelujah. Because excesses, sometimes extremes, can be a problem. But the point that I'm trying to tell you here is that God is not just interested in you becoming, I'm a Christian, I'm this. His Bible says that I wish above all things, 3 John 2, that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Your soul prospering is your establishment in Christ.
Amen.
But God is interested in your prosperity.
Amen.
In your prosperity.
Amen.
And he says that the reason why he gives you pastors is not just to be established. God will establish you. No pastor can establish you. God establishes you. Yeah. I said it's God who establishes people. No pastor can establish you. God will establish you. God will establish you. God will establish you. God will establish you in his house. God will establish you. But he needs for you to move for all the backslidings and things that you don't move for. Many people, it's because you don't either have a pastor or you believe in the pastor to actually move forward and to prosper. Ladies and gentlemen, so the thing that I want you to know is that God gives himself by believe in the Lord your God. You will be established. Solid Christian. But believe his prophets, you will prosper. Sometimes when I look at the kids, as I was teaching them yesterday, I realized that kids need to prosper. Kids need to do well. I mean, yesterday I noticed there were people who were seniors and things who had not even applied for scholarships. I didn't know. And it occurred to me as I was teaching them, scriptures about worship. Then it occurred to me, what about their school? What about their thing? Then it occurred to me, what are they watching on their screens and all that? All these things were dealt amazingly when it came. God used a human being like me to delve into some things that the parents would never have known.
Amen.
Clap for the Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you,
never.
Jesus.
And I'm so grateful to God.
Amen.
For pastors. Now, the point that I'm making is that all these blessings, little things that you see that bring prosperity, they're saying, I spoke to you and then you went to get the job. I spoke to you. I remember Sister Cheryl, same thing, came to us one day and said that, you know, the doctor says I will never have children, and I've accepted it. She even said at a point that, I don't think I even want children. I said, Don't say that. This area, you're not prospering in children. You will prosper.
Amen.
And I remember Sister Irene, and I put her in there. She cried tears. We prayed. We all were in tears together. But there were tears of showers of blessing.
Amen.
And we said, you will also have children. You
Amen.
Will also rejoice.
Amen.
You will also be happy.
Amen.
She never missed in her troubles. She said she believes. The other time I saw her with two children, I said, look, do you remember when you said you don't want children? You were lying. You just had accepted what the doctors had thrown out to you. That you will not prosper in there. Uh-huh. But God used us to speak a word. You
Amen.
Prosper. I remember we putting our hands on her tummy. Mm-hmm. That I said, cool, you will prosper. The day she got pregnant, she didn't even know. Mm-hmm. For 6 months, she was walking around normal. She said, I feel something. I said, go and do an ultrasound. I feel there's a baby. She said, oh, how? The doctor said, I said, go. And she went, and the ultrasound lady said, you are 6 months or some pregnant, 5 months pregnant. Clap for the Lord Jesus. He sends, it is still the power of God. You
Amen.
Must believe to prosper. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, so what am I saying? If it was not for, you know, yesterday somebody met me in a wedding that I attended and told me that, look, that person helped us to start this church in my living room. And all his children are married, doing very well. And he told me, Pastor, you have done some things you have no idea. I said, me? He said, look, we were in your church. Look at all these children. They are big and strong. So I couldn't even recognize them. He said, all these things. One of them, I told you, I can't spank you now because I used to spank you. But they have seen, one of them is a lawyer. One is a doctor who is becoming a specialist. One is he's taller and bigger than all kinds of things. And he said, you have no idea what God has used you to do in my family and my life. I am not boasting, I'm bragging on God on what he does with his anointing.
Amen.
But he reminded me of something, and I was shocked. He told me that, you know, before you came here, there was no person from whatever that has started a church. I mean, all of you, I'm American, but you call me African, so African-American, it's a mixture, you know. Yeah, that's a real African-American. I have both passports. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Now, but he said that nobody has come from outside of this country to this Memphis, especially from where you are, and started a church that it has worked. He told me that nothing. And he said, he remembers that I came with that name, Jesus, and under the umbrella of Lighthouse, and he referred to the fact that our bishop, he's like, he carries an anointing that breaks through where people have not broken through. It is the doing of the Lord. Clap for the Lord Jesus. It is the doing of the Lord. He has had the church for only about 30 to 35 years. We are in more than, we have more than, how many thousand? More than 4,000 churches. In over 90 countries.
Wow.
Oh, clap for the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Now, it is not, it is a work of the anointing. Yes. So when he told me, in effect, he was telling me that, you know, I should not think and boast that because the church has, he said, I mean, and his son said, oh, the last time I came here, they had International Sunday and 16 different nationalities were here. 16 different nationalities. It's like the son was saying, this pastor is a powerful pastor. But his father said, watch this. He said, many people have come to start these churches. It didn't work. But it's like you carry something greater than who you are.
Amen.
It's because of who sent you. Yes. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Yeah.
Amen.
Because of who sent you. Now, therefore, I want us to think deeply. You know, think deeply. When, if Sister Victoria, whose daughter is Esther here and goodness, allows these daughters to dishonor and disrespect her mother, which is Mama Mercy, she's not smart. Yeah. She's not smart. The best thing is to cause them to honor Mama Mercy and to point that the person, in case you think your mother has brought you here, has taken you to school, who even educated me that school was a good thing? Who fed me? Who raised me? Who trained me to train you all? So it's not your place. It's rather your place to, for me to point you to the person who made me who I am. Clap for the Lord Jesus. It is a Christian thing. It's a Christ-like thing. That's what Jesus did. And if you have a problem about that, it's a problem. It's like a wife who leads the children to dishonor the husband. That's a curse. Yeah. It's like a wife who sides with the children. Oh, you know, your father's big head is not always as full of brains, you know. Yeah, that's a problem. Okay, so that's the reason why today, I know that you love me. I know that when you have the opportunity, you will honor me. But I'm telling you that the honor belongs higher than myself. Clap for the Lord Jesus. And I'm going to explain to you in the Bible about honor. What is honor? And that's why today we are honoring the shepherd that God has given to us by substance. We do it once a year. My birthday, you all honor me. But we never do anything like that. But this time, I am saying that let's do it this way, the right way, Jesus's way. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, why? Why? Because relationships only benefit when you give what is required for that relationship to work. I'll say it again. Every relationship requires something that makes you benefit from it. It's the truth. Let's start from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Husband and wife. Husband and wife. Ephesians chapter 5, from verse 20. Let's start even from verse 18. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 18. Is it there? Okay, be not drunk. 19, keep going. Good. And 20. Good. 21. Good. Submitting yourselves one and to another in the fear of God. Then, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Let me tell you something. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and is the savior of the body. You see, hierarchy is again coming. And he says, wives, if you really want to do God's way, get God's kind of benefit, submit yourselves to your husbands. Many wives have that problem. Many wives are rude to their husbands. And you will never enjoy. You will never become the queen that you think you are if you don't establish the king over you.
Amen.
I'll say it again. You will never, oh, Mrs. Woman, Mrs. Wife, you will never be happy as a queen because you feel that you have, until you submit to the king. The good wives are king makers. Yeah. King makers. When you come and see my wife serving me in bed, it's like I am a god.
Wow.
That's why the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3 that Sarah tells the people, you are all my children. So, as Sarah called her husband Abraham Lord, and he said, none of you should be afraid to do so. Don't be afraid to do so. He said, don't be afraid at all to do it. If you really want to enjoy, then behave like that. Okay, so for a husband, for a wife to benefit from a husband, she has to submit.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's what it requires for that relationship to benefit her. And I can assure you, anyone here who's a spouse, a wife, you don't respect and honor your husband, you will never be happy. You will never be. It's not a curse. It's just a word.
Yes.
And it's God's truth. Word.
The truth. I mean,
Bible says you can't add. It's a truth.
Amen.
You can do nothing against the truth but for the truth.
Amen.
Yeah. Let's carry on. The husbands. Then it goes on the next. Husbands, love your... Go on. The husbands, you are happy. You are laughing. You are coming to you. Next, 25. Husbands, love your wife as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Mm-hmm. A husband, you don't love your wife, you will never be happy in that marriage. Never. I've learned that the hard way. When I married and my wife was asking me to calm down on the request that I made, I just insisted blatantly and rigidly. I was never happy. One man of God told me that unless you start loving your wife in a tender way, you will only experience a glorified housemaid, house help in your house that you occasionally share a bed with. That thing touched me. And it was my bishop, Bishop Dag, that we're honoring today. He told me, go and love her the way you love yourself, because that's what Christ said. Listen, I did everything that she wanted just to make her happy. From that, you yourself know the results.
Yes.
3 boys down the line.
Hey.
I am a happy man by the grace of God. Clap for the Lord Jesus. So the relationship for a man to benefit from, you have to show love. For a woman, the recommendation is submission. Mm-hmm. Now, keep going. Now, chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Right? Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment we promise, that it may be well with you and that may live long on this earth. Children can only benefit from the parent-children relationship if they obey and honor their parents. You don't do those things, you will never do well.
Amen.
You will never benefit from it. You will live like a bastard, as if you never had a child. You never had a parent. Yeah. Because what it requires for that relationship to work is obedience and honor. You don't do it. This Bible is just the best book you could ever read.
Amen.
I'm surprised that a smart girl, a smart boy like you don't read the Bible. That's why you are a smart boy, a smart girl, only by name. Not you, but those who don't read.
Amen.
It's true. The greatest smartness is from here. Then it goes on. The next one. Verse. Uh-huh. Fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Listen, parents, you want your parents, any parent, lift up your hand, wave. Even if your parents, your baby is just started. Parents, I tell you, it's not the doesn't do much. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That is what makes a child a good child.
Amen.
Clap for the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
If you don't do that, it's not going to work. Amen. And all parents, I am admonishing you. Help us to help your children. It takes a village to raise a child.
Amen.
Some of you, immediately they rebuke your child once, that's the end of that child. That's the beginning of the devil's dominion on your child. If you take your child because you were not nurturing an admonition in the Lord, and now in the house of the Lord, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 13, that if you do not become a priest to your children and give them knowledge, there will be no peace. It says, but when you allow the Lord to teach them, there will be a lot of peace for the children. Yeah. All the children shall be taught of the Lord. Taught of the Lord. And grace shall be the peace of your children.
Amen.
So what it takes for children to do well is a nurture and admonition of Christ. If you don't have devotion or whatever with your child, you are creating a problem. Yeah. And if you don't have time, no problem. Push them where they will be nurtured and admonished. So that's what it takes for children. If you keep going down, it says servants or employees, you have to obey what your... If you are in your workplace, do what they say you should do and you will do well. That's what it takes to enjoy your job. I don't enjoy my job. Most of the time, most people who don't enjoy their job, they are rude to their bosses. And I say most of the time. And I'm sure that when I say most of the time, you see, I'm the exception. If you are the exception, most likely you are not the exception. Clap for the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah. Look, they fired every doctor in my new place that I went to, except me.
Wow.
By the grace of God. And you know, because I had learned that do whatever your boss says from the Bible. That's what it requires to stay on and to get. And not only that, I was promoted.
Wow.
Yeah, I was promoted. I was there. They said, they want to give me more. I said, look, I don't want. I've told them I don't even want to work weekends. They said, okay. If that's what will keep you here. Clap for the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Obey.
Obey.
Now, when it comes to the Lord, what does it take? Now, let's go. Keep going. Now that you've seen the things that practically happen, every relationship has the thing that makes you benefit from it. Well, the relationship between a pastor and the church members is a God-church member relationship because that pastor is sent by the Lord. You benefit. It takes honor. Why do I say that? Because that's what it takes to benefit from God. Number one, the Bible says in Romans chapter 13, verse 7, render therefore to all who are due, whatever is due them. Number one, tribute to whom tribute is due. Yeah, Uncle Sam requires taxes, pay your taxes, you'll be happy.
Amen.
Custom to whom custom is due. Fear to whom fear is due, and honor to whom honor is due. Clap for the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Now, when you are dealing with the Father, I'm talking about the three people of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, before I even come to who they send and why, you realize that the same thing is what builds. Anybody that does not reverence, honor God, honor Jesus, honor the Holy Spirit, you never enjoy Christianity. You never benefit from this Christian. You are a frustrated Christian. And the basis is just like you are a frustrated worker if you don't obey your boss. Just like you are a frustrated wife if you are not submissive to your husband. Just like you are a frustrated husband if you cannot love your girl, your wife. Just like a frustrated child because she does not obey or honor the father or the mother. That's what it is.
No.
When you don't, God requires, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, the Bible says, wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, be it far from me, for those who honor me, I will honor.
Wow.
And those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Light. You'll be lightweight. You'll be nothing. You'll be air. God was telling prophet Eli that, you see, you seem to be honoring your children more than me. And every one of us who treats your child like a god, you will not be happy. Yeah, some children are like gods and goddesses. I'm telling you. Yeah, A child can do no wrong. When a teacher sent you a message that your child was misbehaving, the first thing is that the teacher hates my child. You are. I don't even know how to describe you, Mr. Parent or Mrs. Parent. You are a funny looking parent.
Ignorant. I don't know.
You are funny look. Never do that. Never do that. Let me tell you, when a teacher tells you, or a pastor tells you, or a Sunday school teacher tells you, brings you a complaint about your child, you see, the first thing you should say is that it is only because they care. Because listen, my friend is a teacher. He has told me he will never complain about the behavior of any child. Because the trouble that comes is not worth it. So he told me he will never, never complain. In fact, because of that, he resigned from being a teacher. Because he could see the things that he would never say to any parent. Because he says to the parent, especially black parents, I'm black, so I can say it. I am black. I'm even blacker than you. Because the African sun has burnt me quite well. Especially black parents. I don't know whether it's insecurity or that because, and I don't blame you because we have really suffered under discrimination. But don't let your past color your future.
Yes.
Yeah. So that true. Is actually the road to actually upgrade, but you're fighting it.
Right.
Nobody hates your child. Your child's behavior stinks, but you don't know because you've treated the child like a goddess. Can never sin.
Mercy.
I beg you. I beg you.
Amen.
I beg you. I beg you. That's what distress actually, and they don't study, and they do anything they want. They don't do their homework. They will never be reported again. Okay, so when you go, find out, and actually form an alliance with a teacher, say, look, anything, tell me. You don't punish, just inform me. And give me some evidence. And if it's overly going on, of course, sometimes it becomes excessive. Then you have a point. Hallelujah. Anyway, but what I'm trying to tell you is that, you know, Eli esteemed the children far higher than God instead of honoring God. And that's what caused him to be removed. He didn't honor God and he lost his position. He didn't enjoy the priesthood anymore. Okay? So God expects honor. He says that those who honor him, he will honor. Those who lightly esteem him, he will never honor. He will. Those who despise him, he will lightly esteem. You see? So he didn't honor. He didn't honor God. You don't honor God, nothing good will happen. You will not enjoy it. Same thing with Jesus. Honor Jesus. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 40. He said, Jesus said, he that receives you receives me. He that receives me receives him that sent me. Jesus was saying that, you see, they don't honor me. That's why they're behaving that way to you. Most people that don't want to receive a pastor speak some way about pastor. If they got Jesus, if the days Jesus was a pastor on earth, they had seen Jesus, they would have killed him. Yeah, there are still killers of Jesus in the church. Because those who killed Jesus were priests. Yeah. Okay. So there is this spirit that kills Jesus by killing priests, dishonoring priests. And Jesus said, when he was here, he said that a prophet is without honor except in his own house. Usually prophets are not honored in their own house. And I'm not surprised, therefore, that you see, sometimes when we bring a pastor here to come and prophesy, you see the gift that you give the pastor. But if I come and prophesy, I say, oh, pastor, thank you. Yeah, it's the truth. You see, that's the reason why. If I was not asking us to honor Bishop Doug today, let's say I brought T.D. Jakes to this church, and I said, honor, you've known him just for one day. You see the money that you give to him.
Wow.
It's because a prophet is without honor in his own house, in his own church, in his own denomination, in his own. And I'm not surprised that some of you, therefore, have not thought it through.
Mm-hmm.
Ask yourself, if it was Bishop T.D. Jakes or America's favorite pastor in Houston is called Joel Osteen, he came, I managed to bring him here. Hi. I tell you, all of you, when I say invite people to church, you don't. Well, when Joel Osteen comes here, the place will be exploding because you despise me. Because you despise me.
Mercy.
Yeah, that's what it means. That's exactly what it means.
Really,
oh, you should. I know you want to clap, but it's some way if you clap. But that's, you know that it's
God
true.
For really big.
Or if I brought Bishop Doug here, maybe it will be, I hope it will fail.
Yes.
But you will see that you will actually like, when Joel Osteen came, you will do it more. You see, because a prophet is without honor in his own house. Let's go against that axiom.
Amen.
That mindset.
Yes.
And tell the Lord, the one that you've given to us, that takes care of us daily, prays for us, that taught Pastor Lindsay, for Pastor Lindsay to become such an anointed, handsome, nice pastor who
Amen.
Loves us like that. And I know that is true. Oh, God, forgive me for bragging. But I'm bragging on the Lord. Clap
Amen.
For the Lord Jesus.
Boasting in the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, in the Lord.
This is your pastor.
Glory
is very funny.
Glory
to God. Bible says, let your glory be in the Lord.
Amen.
And I want you to know that God has done something great.
Yes.
So Jesus said it. He said, this is you, my own country. When I go somewhere else, they honor me. Then the final thing is this honor of the Holy Spirit. These three, they are always being dishonored. I'm not therefore surprised that pastors are dishonored. Honor the Holy Spirit and it will give you life in your relationship with him. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 29. The Bible says, of how much sorer punishment suppose you shall he be to be thought worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of God. It dishonored the Son of God, and now they are going to the Holy Spirit. And has counted the blood of Jesus, the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, as an unholy thing. Well, it's nothing. It's not a big deal. And they've gone even further. And had done so also, despite unto the Spirit of grace. The Bible says that people despise God, they despise Jesus, and they don't stop there. Now, what is he saying here? He's saying the anointing is what, when Jesus left, he gave his anointing. He said, go and wait in the upper room until I have. And so in Acts chapter 2, the Bible says they were there and the Holy Spirit came upon them. And they started preaching and they started prophesying. That is what makes somebody a pastor, the Holy Spirit. And anybody who doesn't honor God, who doesn't honor Jesus Christ, some of us Christians, we have to start interacting with the Holy Spirit seriously so that if Jesus, Holy Spirit is portable Jesus. Jesus, you can carry home.
Yes.
Jesus, that can be everywhere. Jesus can be in your car. The presence of the Holy Spirit, the anointing. Jesus can be in church, although he's seated. He gave us the Holy Spirit. He went upon everybody. So he anointed them, and the Bible says they even had different tongues on them, and they could speak to people in different languages. It means that I can speak to you. You can understand me. That's why you keep coming. When I preach, it makes you understand. God has given me his anointing for you to understand what I'm saying. It's by his Holy Spirit, and I was sent. And therefore, God is saying, those who don't respect the Holy Spirit, therefore don't respect when the Holy Spirit is operating on a human being, on a man. But today I want to teach you that believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. And Jesus says, honor. And so when the Holy Spirit is upon somebody, like that, and you don't respect, you don't honor people, just get up, do anything when the preaching is going on, it's a problem. Yeah, it's a problem. Or when there's one day that we set aside, that look, because of the Holy Spirit that is upon the man, let's not respect even the man. Let's respect the grace on the man. Let's appreciate the grace. Let God see that, this grace is appreciated, so that that man of God can be of greater benefit to you. It's the truth. So there are two scriptures that I want to end with. The first scripture is in the book of Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 17. Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourself to them. Why? For they watch for your souls as they that must give account. When it comes to UD, I'm telling you, I am not the one going to give first account. It's Bishop Dag. Yeah. He's the one who started. I didn't start it. Yeah. As they must give account so that they will do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. That word grief. Look at this. You see, they don't do it with grief. The Bible says that's the way we grieve the Holy Spirit of promise. In Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30. The Bible says don't grieve the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that the job they do is to watch for our souls. My soul does well. That's why they say, as a priest, so the people, because the same spirit. My soul does well when I have somebody who watches over. Your home does well when there is somebody that watches over. Your child does well when the teacher loves and takes care of your child. There's a helper. You are leaving your home to go to work. You go and give to a caretaker, a nursery, a house help, and your child will do well if you have somebody with the right spirit to take care of your child. Hallelujah. And therefore, Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17 that honor, give them double honor. 1 Timothy chapter, let those elders who rule well be counted worthy, not just honor, but double honor, especially those who labor in the word and in doctrine. Clap for the Lord
Amen.
Jesus. So ladies and gentlemen, this is exactly what we want to do. I try to explain to you that the only way I've benefited is because I have respected the grace of God upon the man of God. I give gifts all the time, money, financial gifts. You can't carry a shoe and go, you know, even his size. But so I want to lead you, just like Auntie Vic will lead Esther in goodness to honor Mama Mercy. I want to lead this church to honor Bishop Dad. Clap for the Lord Jesus. For watching over us, for training me, for actually bringing me up and sending me here for you to have. Some of you should be grateful for the way your lives are going, the way that I don't attribute it to me. Don't get me wrong. Neither do I attribute it to Bishop Dad. I attribute it to the grace of God through the anointing that God gave him.
Yes.
What we are doing is honoring the man who has taken on that responsibility. That don't, no problem. It's hard. You see the persecutions he's facing? You see the trouble, stones that they are throwing at him? It's only because he did that. Bible says that blessed, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10, blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. They are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Not everybody will take that, but he has. I think our least we can do is to appreciate him. That it doesn't matter that people are throwing stones. Why are you sending young people to go and preach? That's what I'm doing. They are accusing him that you send people to go and preach for free. People, they said that we should be charging. And they have a problem with that I'm doing such a good job and they are not paying me. Have I said I want to be paid? Have I said I'm doing it for my Lord? And he's managed to train people. Young people like these are preaching. Your children will be preaching. Junior used to be a rough boy. Now he's preaching. Your child who used to be rude is now singing. All that because they are doing it for free. Look at Prince, a good businessman, plays for free.
Amen.
And they're accusing him. They took him to a law court. Why? You have so many people who are, you should be paying everybody. The people say, no, we are doing it for the Lord. How many people do that?
Amen.
Suffering persecutions, being taken to court, and then for rallying young people in school. He said they are in school. Instead of letting them study, you are letting them win souls. It's evil. All kinds of things.
Mercy.
But we're happy doing it. Look, if these my children were not preaching, there could have been some other things. Ladies and gentlemen, you will never want to know the story that could have happened. When I was not preaching, you wouldn't like to know me, I'm telling you. You wouldn't like to. You would shudder if you heard that I was married to her, because she would suffer. Yeah. The number of girls that I would have lined up. But that is the kind of person God has given us to raise all of us. Now, he's finished raising us. He's raising our children. I'm sure their children too will be raised.
Amen.
And I'm sure that when God gives us life,
Amen.
Your children's children will also be singing one day.
Yes.
And Mama Victoria will walk and say, that's my grandbaby right there.
Amen.
After the wedding. Clap for the Lord Jesus. So that's what we're honoring. We're honoring that grace and that wonder that God is doing and telling Bishop Dad, do more. Do more. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Rise to your feet. Clap for the Lord Jesus and rise to your feet. Rise to your feet. Rise to your feet. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Put your hand on your heart and tell the Lord, I will honor your anointing upon the man of God. Help me. Help me. We have despised our pastors. The Bible says they threw stones at their own prophets, but we will not do that. We will honor Jesus' name. Now, if you're here, that now you have understood how your life is that beautiful. Now you know what it takes to benefit from Christianity and from pastors. Therefore, you want to give your life to Jesus. You want to tell the Lord, this is exactly why you brought me. Now I want to be saved properly, to be able to honor the Holy Spirit properly. You want to give your life to Jesus Christ? This is your opportunity. This is your opportunity. You want to say, Lord, I want to surrender to you. Lift up your right hand wherever you are, and I'll pray a short prayer with you. You want to surrender to the Lord. You want to give your life together to Jesus. You want to give your life to Jesus. From on the Zoom, elsewhere, Father, I pray, look at those people that are giving. Let's all say this. Say, Almighty Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit.
Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for your anointing.
Thank you for Jesus Christ.
Thank you for Jesus.
Thank you for pastors.
Thank you for pastors
after your own heart.
Thank you for giving me a pastor. Thank you for giving me a
that
pastor.
That helped me to be born again.
Help me to be born.
That helped me to know your word.
Help me to know your
help
word.
Me to honor the pastors
help
that you've
me
given
to
us. Let me honor my pastor tonight.
Let me honor
this afternoon.
This afternoon.
I want to give from my heart.
I want to give
whatever
from my heart.
Little and much,
whatever little and much,
to support and encourage our pastors.
To support and encourage
in
our pastors.
Jesus Christ,
in
mighty
Jesus
name.
Christ.
Amen.
Wow. Weren't you blessed by that anointed word of God? Come join our services this and every Sunday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time on Zoom at meeting ID 934-809-4313 or in person at 5796 Shelby Oaks Drive, Memphis, Tennessee. Be blessed.